Which pasuk?
Perek Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Ve'at Abiti.
Sorry.
So Boaz is talking to Ruth, and he's calling her his daughter. The last time we spoke about the nace, that instead of cursing her,
he blessed her,
and he said that what she did was a chesed. It's a drastic turnaround. And we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that did that. Hashem did not want Ruth to be cursed.
He interfered with his Babi.
Or at least he deserved, by virtue of his life, the choices he made in his life, he deserved that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should prevent him from cursing Ruth. He said that it's my daughter Altiri, don't fear. Kol HaShetayim Yesalach. Everything which you say, I will do for you. Your wish is my command.
He's like a genie.
Ki Yedea Kol Sharami. Because all the gates of our nation, all the gates of my nation, they are aware. Ki Eshet Chayelot, you are a woman of valor. What does this mean? He's promising her something. What does this mean? There's a problem here. There's a problem here. What is Ruth going to ask of him? Is she going to ask of him that she should be redeemed? That he should be the redeemer. She wants him to be the redeemer. She wants him. He's the tzaddik. He's the gadol hador. He's the one with the spark of Mashiach. He's the one that's going to redeem the souls of her dear departed husband. He's the one. So she wants him. She chose him. There's two candidates. There's Boaz, and then there's Boaz's uncle Pliny Almini, whose real name is Taif. She picked Boaz. She saw the Hashkacha Pratis with Boaz. She went to his field. She didn't go to Pliny Almini. And as illogical as it was, because Boaz was on the last day of his life. So she says that Boaz should be the one to do the Yibum. He should be the girl, the redeemer. And Boaz just told her that I will do whatever you say. So that means he is assuring her, he's promising her that she could direct the agenda here and he will do it. On the other hand, he doesn't have a free hand in the matter. He's not the closest relative. Yibum is done by the closest relative. So how could you promise something that you can't deliver? That's the problem. And the Mefarshim deal with this in different ways.
It wasn't taken care of, didn't he make the best?
No, that's in the next parak.
Oh.
It was taken care of that she's permissible to get married to a Jewish young man.
Oh.
Or a Jewish old man. But they needed another tribunal to determine which Jewish man is going to marry her. There's a commentary about Nachal Eshkol. Nachal Eshkol clues us in. Yeah, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin at that time, they used to deal with different topics. Different topics would arise. There'd be shailus. There'd be areas of halacha that weren't clarified. And it would arise in the Sanhedrin, and the process, you know the process, you know, they fight it out and bring rayas and slug each other up, you know. And my Rebbe said this, and your Rebbe said that, and there's a Brisa that says this, the Mishnah said that. And this was going on, this is an ongoing process of clarifying the halacha lemaisa of what Hashem said to us on our Sinai. At that moment that Ruth entered into Boaz's life, what topic was under discussion in the Sanhedrin? Whether someone from Ammon and Moav could enter Klal Yisrael. And there was no, it was random. There never was someone from Ammon and Moav that wanted to come into Klal Yisrael. It's like if all of a sudden in the yeshiva they decided, let's discuss the halacha lemaisa aspects. You know, they have these halacha svarim, muktzah kelchasa, sukkah kelchasa, tefillin kelchasa. All these halacha svarim that are coming out, especially, let's make a halacha sefer, reishis hagez kelchasa.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah, a complete how-to book of how to give the Kayin the shearings from your sheep.
Oh, okay.
I don't have sheep. I mean, if you have...
I've gone in.
They can get it.
But I know you have Kayin. I'm just saying, you know, and then all of a sudden, you walk into Beis Medrash, we're going to learn, you know, in America, not here, people have sheep. You're in an urban center, you haven't seen a sheep in who knows how long.
Ever.
And then the Sanhedrin is talking about it, and then all of a sudden, on that very day, you find out that some relative of yours left you a farm, and you have 300,000 sheep. So wouldn't you freak out? Wow. What a... Bias. He said, they're talking about this in the Sanhedrin, it's something that never happened. Who knows if it ever would happen, and then you end up in my granary. Marry me. Hashkacha pratis. He said, obviously I'm supposed to marry you, but since the halacha wasn't clear whether I'm allowed to marry you, so in a shemayim they worked it out that in my Sanhedrin, he's in the Sanhedrin. But he's,
well, they want to
in
make
my him, Sanhedrin.
Gave it over.
Well, that's only if the Shaila came before they discussed it. They discussed it Rachak Bo Maisa. The Gemara says this, that if they downed on something and then the Maisa came, he's not in the Gebet Dover. So the Mama just, you know, I am sure that that's the reason why he came up in the Sanhedrin, even though we didn't know it at the time. But I'm sure, and I'm confident that it's going to lead ultimately to me marrying you. But Pliny Almighty has to be dealt with. We have to ask him, and he's going to turn you down. But we have to ask him. See, there's things going on two levels here. There's what's going on in the Shemayim, and there's the things that are going on Nigla al Oritz.
How do you know Plonimo is going to turn him down?
He's going to hold
because he knows Hashkacha Pratis.
He also knows that he's going to hold that.
Isn't that a vera on Plonimo's part that he has that he's doing this then? Because Plonimo is not supposed to turn
him
down.
Plonimo was not a respectable figure in our Messiah. He was not vera. We're not discussing the mitzvah of Yibam. What's under discussion is the minhag, the custom of Yibam. But he's still, the reason why his name isn't mentioned is because he's not deserving of any honorable mention.
Well, but shouldn't he...
And his name
I'm saying,
was
the Nisimbo is depending on him basically doing an Avera?
Not an Avera. The Mashiach and the Gula have to come from the proper... From
so
the proper...
Plony Amoni, why
let me finish. They have to come from the proper... The proper combination. Pliny Almighty had not worked on himself his entire life to gear himself towards this goal, and Bayez saw the signs in the Shemayim that that was true.
And he knew that he would, no matter he wouldn't make the decision to. He was on
he
a
saw,
level.
He was able. Bayez understood the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world. He understood. You know, he was the God.
Did Pliny Almighty have the bechira to choose to marry Rus?
You could have the bechira to choose to marry Rus, and some could still know ahead of time what you're going to choose. And that's. Why did Chizkiyahu separate from his wife? Because he saw that his son's going to be a Rasha. But his son still had a bechira not to be a Rasha. It's a, you know, this is something which we have other examples of. The Yigeri Shmuel. There's two levels. There's Minash Shemayim and there's Ala Oritz. Ala Oritz, Pliny HaMoni is the closer relative. Pliny HaMoni has to be approached first. We have no way of knowing the Pliny HaMoni is going to do or not, whether he's going to do it. But Minash Shemayim, Bayez is completely confident in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having the events unfold. The Yigeri Shmuel says that this halacha that a Mayavia is mutter, a female member of Mayav is mutter, was something that wasn't publicized, it wasn't well known. There's only one, it's confined to one group of people. So the Bayez says,
he's not
going to
know.
Pliny HaMoni is not a member of the Sanhedrin. So Bayez had confidence that he's going to be the one to do it, because he's the only one, the only relative
that knows
the halacha.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he tell Pliny HaMoni that you can marry her?
Obviously he's saying that you
people
can marry
don't want to throw away their... future
her,
based
yeah.
on halacha that they just found out about. We're going to see that later. That Pliny HaMoni is going to tell Bayez, I accept that that's the halacha, but you will know what the halacha is, and I know what it is, but no one else does, and no one's going to marry my children. So Bayez knew this. Any more questions? No, it's dealing with the reality. He's not willing to take on himself the destiny if it's going to cost him. It did cost David HaMelech. At the time when David HaMelech was alive, it was very, very unclear whether he's allowed to get married. It did cost plenty of money. He wasn't fabricating things. He wasn't exaggerating. You find an interesting parallel in the language the Bayez uses. He says, "Kol asher tami esalach, whatever you tell me, I'm going to listen." Bayez, an 80-year-old Gadol Hadar, is telling a Rus, a newcomer to the religion, who entered into his granary in the middle of the night and almost got turned into dust, "Whatever you do, whatever you say, I'm going to do." I mean, just even the choice of words is amazing. "Whatever you say, I'm going to do." Why would he say that? Rav Moshe David Vali points out that these words we found before in Megillas Rus. In Parag Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
Right, "Where you will go, I will go. What you will do, I will."
No, after that. Oh. But you're true. That's related. That is related because Rus was consistent. But he's referring to Parag Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Not Pasuk Chaf, I'm sorry. Parag Gimel. Pasuk Hey. When Naomi told Ruth that she should bathe herself, anoint herself, go down to the granary, so Ruth responded, "Vataymi alel." Ruth said to Naomi, "Kol asher tami, whatever you say to me, Esther, I'm going to do." It's the same words.
What did it mean there?
It meant that even though I don't agree, Ruth didn't agree. She didn't think she couldn't bring herself to go to a granary where Bayez was sleeping. But Naomi, since you say so, I accept it and I'm going to do it. If you remember, we said that Ruth was expressing the ultimate in self-negation. She was mevatelzich. She was mevatel herself. The word Eli is pronounced, but it's not written. I mean, we said that at the time. And she said, "I recognize that this is the word of God. I recognize that this is that God is speaking through you, Naomi. And I'm going to do it, because I don't take up space." Rav Moshe David Vali said that these words are thrown back at her, or they're reflected back at her. By Bayez is used the exact same words as her, because it was like a midah connected midah, that she was mevatel herself, and she ignored her own being, her own sense of self, in light of the greater master plan of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and she saw that Naomi was speaking the word of God. So in turn, when someone is an anav, when someone is existing only to give over the word of God, when someone has the character refinement that Ruth had, so when she speaks, so then when someone hears Ruth speaking, what are they hearing? They're also hearing the word of God. If a Rebbe was always saying over things over from his Rebbe, who always said over things from his Rebbe, you pay attention, because you're confident that Rebbe is not blowing his own horn, and he's not just trying to take up space. When you say things, you always attribute the words to the source. So then people pay attention, because this is not about Gaiva. He's trying to build himself up. He's just trying to give over what he heard from others who heard from others who heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
No, it's not an opinion, it's a fact.
It's a fact that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Bayez uses the same words, "Kol asher tami, whatever you say I'm going to do," because that's the way it goes. You are saying over the words of Hashem, and I listen. When God talks, I listen. Pasuk Ki Yader Kol Shar Ami Ki Yesh Eschai Elot. Rav Moshe David Vali says something very, very penetrating in the last phrase of this pasuk. Everyone knows you're an Yesh Eschai Elot. Like, what do we need to know that for? Everyone knows you're an Yesh Eschai Elot. Rav Moshe David Vali says that this Shaila, now this is going to be a little bit different than the Igeres Shmuel we said before. Okay, so don't jump on me. This Shaila of Mayavi v'lei Mayaviyah, that someone from Mayav could convert, providing they're female, this Shaila, you know why they cleared it in the Beis Medrash? They never thought of clearing this in the Beis Medrash. They only cleared it because they heard what an Eshes Chayla you are. you came here, you had a first convert from Mamon Amayev, and they heard what an Eshet Chayil you are. The Targum says, what does Eshet Chayil mean? And I'm combining the Targum with the Ramesh Dod Vali. What does Eshet Chayil mean? You're a tzaddikus, and you have the strength to fulfill all the mitzvahs of Hashem. It takes a tremendous amount of power. You're a tzaddikus, and you have power. You're a strong woman. You've got power. And then that's why they had the Shaila in the Sanhedrin, whether someone from Ammon and Moav, if they convert, could they enter into Klal Yisrael? Because until you came, they never had declared a Shaila, because they never thought that anyone from Ammon and Moav could ever be that. So what's the point? But since you're an Eshet Chayil, they said, now it's halacha l'maase, and now we have to determine whether this woman could marry into Klal Yisrael, because now we know that it's halacha l'maase. It's relevant. So this is a departure from the pshat I told you from the Igeres Shmuel.
I'm not necessarily.
Yes, it is, because the Igeres Shmuel says that they had the Shaila independent of her. Right, but that's, you know, ayin panam l'tor. It's ayin panam l'tor. Pasuk Yud Beis. The Atam now.
Yo, brother.
Can you understand?
The Atam now. Now. Now, that means without hesitation. And now. Ki amnam, it's true. Amnam means emunah. You could believe in it. You could trust in it. Ki gayal anechi. I am a redeemer. I'm a redeemer. Yes, I'm saying a redeemer. I am a redeemer. V'gam yesh gayal karav mimeni, but there's a redeemer that's closer than me. So Boaz is saying, I am a redeemer, but I'm not the redeemer. And this is problematic. Now, that's interesting, you know. So Sefer Ruth has a number of words that they're written and they're not pronounced, or they're not written and they are pronounced, and that attests to the hidden nature of Sefer Ruth. Just the fact that that exists, it shows that Sefer Ruth has a totally different level to it, you know, that's a hidden level. But in this pasuk, there's a word here that's written in the scroll, but the Baal Keri doesn't read it. So it's the opposite of something that's not written and it's pronounced. This is written and it's not pronounced. And it says, Ki im gayal anaychi. Ki im. Ki im gayal anaychi. So the word im is written, but it's not pronounced.
Wait, ki im is not pronounced or just im?
The word im is written, but it's not pronounced. Now, there's two ways of understanding it, two opposite ways of understanding it. When you put ki together with im, ki im means only. It's a double. It's like a double exclusive. It's like a double exclusionary clause. Ki im.
Double
because
nice.
if ki im only. Loosely translated as only. Ki'im. Ki'im means only.
So.
Ki'im. I am the only Gael. So that means the beginning of the Pasuk contradicts the end of the Pasuk. Because Ki'im means I'm the only Gael, and then the end of the Pasuk is saying there's a Gael that's more carved than me. So Moshe David Vali explains that. He said because there's a Gzeira in Shemayim that I'm going to do it. It's already been decreed in heaven that I'm the only one. And I'm going to be the only one. But that's in Shemayim. It's not revealed down here. So that's why the word im is written, but it's not pronounced. It's written because it's like it's written down in Shemayim. It's like decreed in Shemayim, and it's already written in Shemayim that I'm going to be it. But it's not pronounced because pronouncing it would reveal it in this world. Again, we're talking about the two levels. There's a Shemayim and then there's the Eretz. So that's why it's written, but it's not pronounced, because in Shemayim it's Nigzav, it's not Eretz. That's Ramesh Dao Dvar.
What's hidden over there?
You don't pronounce it. So what's hidden is because no one knows that Boaz is the only one yet. There's a closer relative.
Okay.
Reb Shlomo Alkovitz on this pasuk, he has a totally different approach, and he focuses on the word im without putting it next to the word ki. So just the word im itself, without ki, what does that mean? The word im without if.
41.
Ki im means only, but im itself means if. So Shlomo Akovitz says that the word im, it's written in the Torah, but you don't pronounce it. Because on one level, he was telling me he's going to do it. But on another level, he was iffy about it. Because he didn't feel that he was worthy to marry Rus. And that's also an amazing, amazing, amazing thought. That the Gadol HaDor did not feel that he was worthy to do it. She wants him to do it. And Navi is telling him that he's the one to do it. The messages are clear. But on some level, he feels inadequate. This is not for him. Someone else has to redeem the neshama of Machlan. Someone else has to redeem Klal Yisrael. So that's, on some level, he felt that he couldn't be the one to do it. There's so many lessons of Midas in Sefer Rus that the greatest of peoples are the ones that they feel inadequate. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lini Alayla, you sleep tonight. Lini is singular. The reason why it's singular, this is a Rashi. Lini, he didn't say we're going to sleep tonight. He said you are going to sleep. Rus, you are going to sleep tonight. That's vindictive. That's what he told her, because they're going to sleep separately. He said, I'm not going to do the mitzvah tonight. Tonight is not going to be the mitzvah Yibam. And you're not going to have a husband tonight. Lini Halayla. You are going to sleep alone tonight. But sleep right here. Vahaya Bavokar, and in the morning, Im Yigalech, if he redeems you, plenty of money, Taiv. That's good. You go. So then he'll redeem you. And if he doesn't want to redeem you, I will redeem you. Chai Hashem, he made a swear. He swore that he's going to redeem her. Shichri at a biker, lie down till the morning. So he made an oath that he's going to do it.
That's only if the other one doesn't.
That's the pashup shot, but you know, he made an oath he's going to do it. He said, we're going to give him the chance to do it. If he does it, good. But
thing
I'm
is, usually that would make sense if he said Chai Hashem first.
Right, I know.
He didn't double it.
He made a shvua he's going to do it.
I thought he died the next day. It was the day after that day?
He died the next night is when he married her. They woke up in the morning. He went to Beis Din.
He went to Pony Amoni.
Yeah, and then he married her that night.
And then he did it, and then he died the next day?
He died, yes.
No. So she got married in Tzad Shiva?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so there's actually on this Yigalech Taiv, if he redeems you Taiv, it's good. So there's a couple of Pshatim that I saw on this. The Alshuk said that Pliny Amini's real name was Taiv. The Alshuk. So the Bais is saying, in Yigalech Taiv, if Taiv redeems you, instead of saying im Yigalech, comma, Taiv. So when you read im Yigalech Taiv, there's a commentary from the Sefer called the Sherish Yishai. The Bais was saying that you don't want Pliny Amini to redeem you because he's ashamed not to. That's embarrassing. Here you have a minig, a custom, that the first relative is supposed to buy back the lands, restore the ancestral homelands, and marry the widow of the dead relative. And it's a public thing. And it's going to be hard for him to turn it down. So Bayez says, that's not the way it's going to be. If he redeems you out of the goodness of his heart, So then Yigal, so then that's acceptable. Then he can redeem you. But if he's not going to redeem you out of the goodness of his heart, so then I'm going to do it. So that's the way he reads it. And Yigal, sure, he could talk to him. You could always find a way, you know, to get someone to give over to Boaz the covet of marrying her, especially if Plenty of Money really doesn't want to do it. It's called giving a way out. If someone's doing it because they're embarrassed, you give them a way out.
So, China, you know, if he does it because he's embarrassed, that means it's not out of the Tov.
Right, it's not out of the Tov, and then I'm going to do it. So the way you'd read the Pasuk is, in Yigalech Tov, if he redeems you out of good intentions, Yigal, so then he'll redeem you. But if not, you know, if he's not doing it out of good intentions, he's just doing it out of shame, so then I'll do it. Mishidah.
How old was Tov?
Well, he was Boaz's uncle, and Boaz was 80. There's the next.
Isn't the only reason why you're supposed to have Yibum is so you could have kids, right?
Yeah, but because not out of shame. Shame is not. That's
no,
not
but
the same
I'm saying
thing.
Because you didn't have kids with the other husband, right? So now, if you're gonna marry a guy that's like 90 something, you know, then. Or whatever, like, he's not going to be able to have kids with...
Yeah, that's one of the... I told you, Reb Shlomo Alkovitz said that Boaz said the word in because he didn't think it was worthy. That's one of the things... Reb Shlomo Alkovitz says that. That's one of the things that he didn't think he was worthy of. He's not worthy of producing children. But the thing is, this man is not running the show here.
How old is this?
This is 40. Man is not running the show here. This is... God's running the show. So if God picks Boaz, he's gone. He can't, you know... If God wants an 80-year-old man to produce a child, then an 80-year-old man...
Is it
still
possible for him?
Our entire like existence relies on a 99-year-old man that had a child.
Yeah, yeah, but in those days, people lived somewhat
well,
longer.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
And even so, the
wife... Not in the time of Avraham Avinu.
Isn't can a man produce children as long as... Much longer than a woman?
No, that's a malam midrash hatava for him to have children at that age.
47 is not like a couple of years.
No, I'm saying it's
like a whole other lifestyle.
Avraham Avinu was judged to be medically sterile at the time when he had Yitzchak. He was incapable of producing children. Sarah said that. I mean, he couldn't. It was a nace. And this was also a nace.
Well, so
is also. The Mishnah Bavali has a kasha, which bothered me. I just saw this today. He said, why? You know, it was dark. It's in the middle of the night. Tell her to go home now. Does this ever bother you?
Yeah.
Why is he telling her to stay until the morning? And he tells her to leave before it gets light.
Right.
So he must have given her a flashlight or something. You know, why take the chances of having a... We said it's mutter to have yichud with an unmarried woman in those days. It was mutter. And she was a tahira. She had gone to the mikvah. It was mutter because the iser of yichud with a pnuyah is the rabbanan, and that was enacted in the times of David HaMelech, which was four generations later. So was mutter. But why? Why?
Well, she's going wandering around in the middle of the night.
He's sending her out before the morning anyway. Because I'll say, the Medrash says it was 6 hours. It was 6 hours until he sent her away. Why have 6 hours? Rav Moshe David Vali tells us two things. He tells one thing is he wasn't worried about doing an Avera because he had mastered himself and he had passed the test. He had passed whatever Nisayan he had. He was aimed in it, and he had passed the test. But he is planning in the morning on taking on the world. He's going to take on the world. He is going to go to the Sanhedrin, and he's going to publicly begin a process of redemption, and he's going to have to work it in a way that he's the one that does it, against all odds, because there's someone that's closer. He's circumventing the natural process. And he's not going to do it for some woman that's not totally l'shem shemayim. Rav Moshe David Vali said he was testing Rus. He said if she had one iota, one small minuscule amount of a lack of l'shem shemayim, if she had one minuscule amount of brazenness, or gaiva, or taiva, you know, of immorality, of impropriety, you know, if she had any last vestige, remnant of Amun and Mayav left in her, in those 6 hours it's going to come out. If she's able to stay with him for 6 hours and be a tzaddikus and be a tahira, l'shem shemayim, and you could detect it by the way people act and the way they express themselves. So that's the final siman that he needs to redeem her.
Was the first thing or the second thing?
I said two things. Number one, he was confident he was not going to do an avera,
yeah.
And the second thing is he was motivated to test her. You need both of them. You can't test a woman to see if she's l'shem shemayim if you're not confident in yourself. It's awesome to do that. 2 points from Moshe Dovid Valley, and that's just simply amazing. You look at Rashi. Rashi complements this. The pasuk says, "Boyez made a shvua." Rashi says the shvua was he made a shvua, binding his yetzahara that he's not going to have any relations with her outside of marriage. He's not going to do yibum now. There's going to be nusuin. There's going to be kedushin. There's going to be a chuppah. And it's not going to be now. Not the way that Nami planned it. And he made a shvua that he's not going to do it. He was mashbiah es yitzroi. He bound himself in a shvua that it's not going to be now. The pasuk gedaled. Vatishkev margaloisav. She lie down by his feet. Ad habayker, until the morning. Atarakam, and she got up at Terem Yaker Isis Re'eyu before it was light enough for one man to recognize his fellow man. Vayemer and Vayas said, Al Yivada, it should not be known, Ki Va'a Ha'isha Hagayrin, that the woman came to the granary. So, a number of things that need clarity in this pasuk. Why does it say she slept by his feet?
Who asked this?
The commentary, Ibn Yichya. Why does it say that she slept by his feet? Why is that important to us? She went to sleep. If she went to sleep, then that's all we have to know. The Ibn Yichya says because when she came into the granary in the first place, Nami instructed her to go down, uncover his feet, and lie down by his feet. That was her instructions from Nami. So she came into the granary, she uncovered his feet, and she lied down by his feet. Then Boaz had this great discovery, she's not a shade because she is here. And he didn't curse her, and he blessed her, and he swore to her he's going to take care of it. And she lies down by his feet. Why did she lie down by his feet? The Ibn Yichya says, how could you not be besimcha from such tyra? He said, because from the time she came in there until the morning, she remained in the same place for 6 hours, never budging an inch. Why? Because she had no plans of budging an inch. She was a shliach. Nami said, go in there, uncover his feet, and lie down. And that's exactly what she did. She went in there, she uncovered his feet, and she lied down. And that's why when she went to sleep, it was by his feet, because that's where she was. To get up, to move, would be taking initiative. She's not taking initiative. A woman who's coming to do an aveira in the middle of the night takes initiative. She gets up and she does things, chas v'shalom. But the only way that she could justify being in this position in a man's granary with him alone at night is because she's not doing anything on her own. She's only doing exactly what Nami said. She says, God l'shem kamayu. Ibn Yichya, she slept by his feet. I don't know how much to spoil from this. Bayez said no one should know that a woman came to the granary. Pashup Shad, who was he talking to when he said that? The Pashup Shad is he's talking to the young lads that they definitely found out about this. You can't hide it. There were people, he had his workers, but they were loyal. His loyal retinue, his loyal servants. Someone's got to know. And he told them, You might not understand what she's doing here, but I don't want this to get out.
Who's his?
That's just Pashup Shot. I mean, I'm telling you the Pashup Shot because I'm leading into something else. Vayemer and Vayah said, who do you say it to?
Isn't Pashup Shot that you say it to Russ?
No.
Because it's obvious that
well, she's telling don't tell anyone else. Don't tell anyone.
No. That's not... No.
And he said the woman.
The Targum... You want a name? The Targum says that he said it to his young lads.
Okay.
He instructed them that they shouldn't tell. This is something they shouldn't reveal. It says, Kibaha Isha. That means he's not talking to her. He's talking to someone else. The Alshuk says that... This is not the intent. Rus went to sleep. What was Bayez doing the whole night?
Davening.
He was davening the whole night. And he was saying, Rabbeinu Shalalom, you know that I didn't touch her. And I didn't even have an improper thought about her. And my heart is pure. And I never did anything wrong. And this was brought upon me. And I'm 100% nucky. I'm clean. I'm pure from this. Hashem Chas V'Shalom, if people find out that she was here, it's not myself that I'm worried about. It's not myself I'm concerned about. I didn't do anything wrong. Why is it sure? He's going to go to Elam Haba. He's going to go to Gan Eden. But what about the Chil Hashem Shemaim? What about the desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? People will think that the God Ledar did something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom, he was davening the whole night for the covet of Hashem. For the covet of two. He was davening the whole night for the covet of Hashem, and he was davening for the covet of Ruth. He said, Hashem, I will survive this. I'm a tzaddik. He knew he was a tzaddik. Everyone knows me. I'll say that she came. I never asked her to come. I didn't touch her. And I sent her away. And people will believe me. I'll be okay. But no one's going to believe her. She's from Ammon and Moav. He was more concerned for her than for himself. He was more concerned for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation. Even if they do believe something about me. But it's going to be a Chil Hashem Shamayim. He spent the entire night, 6 hours, davening and crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are the words of his prayer. What are the words? Al Yivada Ki Bo Yish Agan. Let it not be known that a woman came to the granary. That's the Alshech. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayemer, and he said, Aviya Mitpachas, give me your turban. Mitpachas, Yishmata. Give me your shawl. Mitpachas is something that, it's an article of clothing, she covers herself with it. Mitpachas Hashem Alayach, which is upon you. Give me your covering, the oxiba, and hold on to it. Vatayachas ba, and she held on to it. Vayamid chased the iron, and he measured out 6 parleys. Vayashasala, and he put it on her. Vayavayir, and he came to the city. We discussed
the barley.
The barley. Pashup Shot in the pasuk, because he's telling her to hold on to it, because he's giving her a lot. I'm saying, you know, if you're wondering why he's telling her to hold on to it, and she did hold on to it, the Targum learns Pashup Shot. The Targum. Because he gave her a lot. He gave her 6 saw. 6 saw is like enough for someone to eat for, I don't know, it's like a lot. It's you can't carry 6 saw. It's a lot.
Where did he go to?
A saw is enough for 12 meals. So 6 saw is 6 times 12. That's 72, it's 72 meals, you know. He gave her 72 meals. So of course he told her to hold on tight to the shmata, to the covering. And she held on to it because she's holding it up for 72 meals. The Gemara has a kasha on this. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, how is it possible that he gave her so much? She can't carry so much. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Gimel. The Gemara is it's a lot. And because of the question, the Gemara says he didn't give her so much. He didn't give her 6 sa'ah. Sa'ah, samach, aleph, he didn't give her 6 sa'ah. He gave her 6 barley grain. So you're really going extremes, you know.
We
went from 70 meals for 72 people to 6 little barley grains. 6 little barley grains. It's so you plant it, and then you grow six stalks of barley, and then you take the seeds from that, and you can plant that, and eventually you can have a lot. But it's not a snack. Six, you know, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara says he didn't give her such a large amount, but the Targum says he did. Zuck the Targum, he told her, hold on to your shmata, hold on to your cloth, and really tight, I'm going to put it in. And he starts piling it in, and it got heavier and heavier and heavier, and Zuck the Targum. That she drew strength from Hashem to hold on to it. So there was a nes here. So that's the Targum shot in the pasuk. There's a nes here. He wanted to give her that amount, and he didn't want her to be limited by the constraints of nature. He just kept giving and giving and giving. Well, she had kayach from Hashem. Yes, it was heavy. But she had the strength to carry it because Hashem gave her the kayach. Hashem gave her the kayach. That's the Targum. But the Bavli, the Gemara, says no. The Gemara says he gave her 6 barley grains. The Gemara says, Akasha, what's the point in giving her 6 barley grains? It's a remez. She's going to have 6 descendants. He's telling her the future.
Also, it's not birth this time.
Yeah. It's not burnt this time, but still barley.
So she could actually plant it this time.
Right.
So what do the 6 barley grains represent?
She's going to have 6 kids. There's 2 versions of what the 6 kids are. The Gemara's version is David HaMelech. Daniel. Hananiah. Mishael, Azariah, and Mashiach. That's one version.
David, Daniel,
Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Mashiach. That's one version. And we saw another version. David and Shlomo are one. David and Shlomo are one.
And Mashiach.
Mashiach. And another version. What? Is David. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Yeshaya HaMelech, how many is that so far? That's 3. Daniel, it's 4.
Wait, David, Chizkiyahu,
Yeshaya, that's 3. Daniel is 4. Daniel's friends is 5.
Daniel's
friends. All 3 of them, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, all counted as 1. Because they were a triumvirate. They worked together. And then Mashiach. So if you count Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah as 3 separate people, then you take out Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya. If Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah count as 1, so then you put in Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya. And these 6 are going to be blessed with 6 blessings. The 6 blessings are... Chachma, Bina,
Das,
Eitza, Gevura, Das, and Yiras Hashem. Malchus is the 7th.
Chachma, Bina.
Yiras Hashem. I'll do it again. Chachma,
Bina,
Eitza, Gevura, Das, and Yiras Hashem.
In such order?
Yes, it's a pasuk. V'nachalav ruach Hashem, ruach Chachma Bina, ruach Eitzeg, ruach Das V'yis Hashem. There's one more thing I'd like to share with you on this pasuk. We have some more time, right?
No.
Well, we
can go forever if you want.
We have more time. We had one view according to the Targum that he gave her enough food for 72 people. The Gemara said he gave her 6 barley grains, which is not enough for any people. And then you have the Malbim.
Oh yeah, Malbim.
The Malbim says that he gave her a sixth of a sa. which is known as a kav. You've heard of a kav, Barba Amos.
Oh, a kav of corn.
A kav, because there's six kav in a saw. He gave her a sixth of a saw, which is a kav. And a kav is two meals. Why two meals? One for Rus.
And one for him.
And one for Nami.
Oh.
One for Rus, one for Nami. He gave her a kav of barley, which is enough for two meals. It's a sixth of a saw, and it's enough for breakfast. The mom said, why did he give her breakfast?
It was morning.
He was giving her remes. He said, this is the last meal you're going to have to accept as charity for me. I'm giving you breakfast. What's going to be with dinner? By dinner, you're going to be my wife. So he was being meramez her that he's taking care of it. Atta, he's taking care of it right now. But he had a year, and then he came to the city. He dropped her off. He came to the city. Pasuk to Zion.
Another pasuk.
Yeah, how can we stop?
I'm so tired of writing.
Is that like the same thing about
Rosedale's here already?
I don't think he started sure yet. I mean,